Hafa day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Man, I want to please God, and faith is what it takes to please God. I better find out what faith is and how do I get it. Who else has lived it?
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I'd like to draw your attention to that passage today, and particularly verses 8 through 13. I trust that the time here would be of a benefit and a help, and maybe answer some questions, because any church should be able to answer some question like, what pleases God? That would be a pretty good question to be able to find out what the Bible has to say, what pleases God, or a question like, what does God reward? And both of those are answered really in this particular passage in Hebrews 11, because the Bible very clearly says, actually in verse 6, and we read this a few weeks ago, what pleases God? Really, what does please God? Does like good works please God? Does our bank account please God? Do how we look please God? All those might be important, but really he narrows it down and he says, you know what pleases God? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Faith is what pleases God. That'd be pretty important. If, man, I want to please God, and faith is what it takes to please God, I better find out what faith is and how do I get it? Who else has lived it? And we say, well, what does God reward? God rewards those that diligently seek him, because if you're living by faith, you're going to seek him. So how in the world do we do that? There are people that are sitting in a lot of churches around the world. What are they looking for? And really, they're looking for a relationship with God. They don't really want a lot of religion. They don't want a lot of activity. They want to know, am I connected to God? And that's why you have the book of Hebrews, because he expands that statement. Actually, becomes our theme, was theme this year, the just shall live by faith. A guy named Charles Spurgeon, who wrote a lot about 100 years ago or so and was a pastor, made a good, succinct statement when he made the statement that little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. What do you mean by that? He really summed up what the Bible says, that it takes a little faith for your soul to go to heaven. It doesn't take much faith, he says, Jesus said it, as a little mustard seed. That's what it takes to get to heaven. But it takes great faith to take that heaven and that sense of joy and wonderment and bring it to your own soul. Now the question is, how do we do that? And I want to answer that today. I want to answer that through the life of Abraham, because the life of Abraham in this passage in Hebrews 11, which for some of you that would know the Bible, know that this is like a chapter about faith. No other chapter says more times about faith. I think it's 27 times the word faith is. There are 16 different names, proper names that are given of people, specifics, and then there are others that we don't know all of their names. There are women that give up their children. There are others that have been tortured, and he also talks about prophets. So he cares about the individual, he cares about the mass, he cares about us as massive people that are wanting to know, how's my relationship with God? And so we say, all right, let's look at some of these lives, and can I just do a little brief review for us? Now, I'm just going to click through these because the whole passage works through the expansion of the just shall live by faith. Who were they? We talked a couple of weeks ago and last week about the life of Abel. And all of these people teach us about faith. For example, the life of Abel, who lived by faith in worshiping God. Do you remember that? It talks about Abel, who offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. And really, it was a portrait of biblical salvation. Why did God put Abel in the Bible? To help us know what salvation is. And then from there, he gave us the area of faith, and Enoch, who lived by faith in walking with God. He walked with God. And really, it's a portrait, as we talked about, biblical area of sanctification, separation. In other words, I'm walking forward and I'm living with God because the just shall live by faith. And therefore, it makes decisions about everyday living. And then the area of Noah, who really lived by faith by working for God. So these men were saved. They were set aside. God, this is my life. You do what you want, whatever vocation and what vocation I'm in, I'm going to serve you. And Noah did that, and he was a portrait of service. He was working for God. And then in the Bible, you move from verse 4 down to verse 8 when it talks about by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance. Or in other words, he was called to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He got an inheritance. Have you ever got an inheritance? This is like a pretty good inheritance. You got the land, you have people, you have generations that are going to end up birthing lots of people. And he says Abraham here lived by faith in wandering with purpose. Look at your Bibles. He says it in verse 9, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. He sojourned. He literally wandered with purpose. He really didn't know for sure where he was going, as we're going to find out, but you find that Abraham lived by faith in wandering with purpose. It was a portrait of surrender. He was a man that surrendered his life, because faith involves belief with legs on. It is a confidence and a courage in Christ. It is believing in something you can't see. It's not stepping, it's not taking a step in the dark. It's taking a step into the light. I've mentioned before, but understand that there are people that would say, you know, well, for example, D.L. Moody years ago had an atheist come to him and say, you know what, Dr. Moody, I want to tell you something. I can't believe something unless I can see it. And D.L. Moody, who was a great preacher back in his day, and I've said this before, but it's always a chuckle to me when in his response to an atheist saying, I can't believe in something I haven't seen, his response very quickly was, listen, do you believe you have a brain? Do you believe in oxygen? Do you believe in Abraham Lincoln? Well, yeah. Well, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Well, is it any different than our faith that's applied to something that is eternal? And Abraham here expresses all of this. Let me walk through the two questions that every one of these Bible characters we've answered. And let me just do that today, if I may. And I want to kind of park on the second one. So let me just walk through the first one, which was, who was he? We read about Abraham right here in Hebrews 11, but there's more said about Abraham in this passage than any other of the patriarchs. And the book of Genesis, more is written about Abraham and his family than any other family. Because really, the Bible gives three titles to who Abraham was, and it's critical you understand. First of all, Abraham was the father of our faith. The Bible says he was the father of our faith. He says it this way in Romans chapter 4, when he says the father of our faith. And really what he says here, listen, is critical, because if you miss this, you'll miss moving into churches or studying of God that will fully miss. Why did he say he's the father of our faith? It's Abraham who really, it gave him influence, a witness to others. It says it this way in verse 1 of chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, he's found? For if Abraham, listen, were justified by works, he's wherefore to glory. In other words, he could boast about the fact that he became the father of faith. He got his faith by working for it. He said, no, not before God. Why did he say that? He said it because, verse 3, what says the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham was the one that his name originally meant exalted father. That was the word Abram, exalted father. And then God gave him a new name, Abraham, which meant father of a multitude. He was the father of a multitude of these Jews here and us as Greeks and the Arabs out of Ishmael. He was all who trust Christ are spiritual children of Abraham, a vast multitude, Revelation 7 says. Now stay with me, because If he's the father of many of faith, is he talking about many faiths, or he's talking about what faith is he talking about? Look at chapter 3, backs up three verses. He answers it. He says, verse 28 of chapter 3 of Romans, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, and of the Gentiles also. Verse 31, then do we then make void the law through faith? No, God forbid. Yes, we establish the law by faith. What is he saying? He's saying that, listen, if you are going to end up having faith, the faith that Bible's talking about, it's going to be found and placed in Christ. He's not saying, listen, here's the laws, the works that we are doing. The works come out of our salvation, not for salvation. And I'm going to tell you, listen, if that is what is missed, you will end up going that way in a religion or that way in a relationship. If you end up saying, I'm doing all these things, it's what the law of works, look, God, aren't you impressed? I'm looking like really spiritual. Now, I don't know what that looks like. What does it look like when you're like really spiritual? Is that like, you know, Pastor, you look good. You look spiritual today because I got a tie on that I wear on Sunday morning. It's the only time I wear it, but I like wearing a tie on Sunday morning. And I got a coat. Did you look spiritual? I mean, what if we have some robes that the choirs used to wear? Maybe we need to break those out. And we wear robes, and I'm looking more spiritual. How's that look? I mean, what is it that makes you look spiritual? I'm down on my knees with a robe on, and I have a hat on. That makes me spiritual? Most of the time, every morning, I will get up, and I will, before anything starts in the day, I normally get a cup of coffee, and I'm in my gym shorts and my T-shirt, and I'm reading my Bible. Now, in my opinion, I feel pretty spiritual right then. Now, whether I have a coffee or not, but boy, that sure made me wake up a little bit quicker about it all. Wait a minute, what is it that's going to like make us spiritual? And that's what he's saying. Listen, you're not about works. It's an influence that God gives to you by faith. I'm going to express this a little bit more, but can I move on? Number two, notice as well, he's the father of our faith, but he's also the friend of God. Man, and I'm going to tell you, it's like the Bible's expanding it. He's the friend of God. Wouldn't you like to have a faith that fathers other people in faith? Wouldn't you like to be called the friend of God? He says it this way in James chapter 2, verse 20 to verse 21. Listen, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seeing thou how faith wrought with the works, and by works was faith made perfect? In other words, out of that faith was expressed the works, that it was proof he's got faith in God. Then he says in verse 23, and the scriptures was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. It gave him, listen, intimacy. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. There are churches today that if they're not committed to giving you an intimate relationship with Christ, hey, it's great that you have faith, but if you don't have faith in Christ and there's an intimacy, there's a warmness, there's a freshness, he's your friend. You know he's going to be there. As the Bible says, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's what God says Abraham was.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.